morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I will be with you for about 55 minutes today. I have with me someone I have the utmost respect for. I've known him a long time, knew him when he was a mayor, and now he's down, he lost his mind and went to Boston. But he's upholding the Western Massachusetts place. And I will say this, John Barrett is as good a person as you can ever run into if you're having issues with the state. Now, I did some research, Representative Barrett, today, and I found this thing of relatively recent things that you, with that nice picture, but I must tell you, that picture is not current. Just leaving you at that. I'm not saying it's older you. I'm just saying it's not current. All these things that you have done for people, for the people, to me, it's amazing. And one of the things I want to illustrate, Representative Barrett's the first Berkshire district, and that's Northern Berkshire, North Adams, Adams, Williamstown. But one of the things that I don't think they understand in Boston is Representative Barrett filed a bill for the town of Hancock to authorize to allow firefighters and police officers to continue serving, notwithstanding the maximum age service. I don't think that sometimes down there in Boston and John, they understand our issues here.
No, it's I always say to them, we're like a foreign country out here. But, you know, I think we've made improvements in the last few years, to be honest with you. We hear the word rural a lot more in discussions in the State House, and we've also partnered with the people on the other side of the mountain, my colleagues there, you know, in Franklin County and in Hampshire County, and so things have started to make a difference. We've started to get some interest in preserving, making sure our farms survive, and we making sure that we get some of this damage money that from catastrophic storms that we've seen over the past few years and stuff like that. But, and most importantly, you know, the chairmanships out here have improved greatly too. So that makes a difference. But, but you also have to have, you know, you can't just go down there and basically say, I know it all. You got to go down there and basically hat in hand and let them, you know, talk to them on an even keel. And I think that does a lot more than anything else. I mean, my first year there was very, very difficult. Believe me, after being a mayor, you know, I'm used to saying, do this, do this, do this. And it usually got done and it got done quickly. There, it's a different world of government, but important world.
Oh, sure.
In which we can do a lot of good things. But there's a lot more we have to do. And but what hurts, too, is we lost a member of our delegation last year when, or 2 years ago, because of the loss of population. That's and how do we correct that? I think we fought hard to get rail service up here. I think we know it's important in improving broadband service.
Yep.
I'm still on hot to trot up after our favorite people at Spectrum because, you know, they have a quality product, but they have also a very quality price.
Yes, they do.
And, but we have to have some effective competition to them. And I'll continue to work on that for as long as I'm down there and my colleagues too. But, you know, it's a tough job. Let me tell you, mayor, there's no job tougher than being mayor, but being a representative for 13 communities and explaining how the legislative process works and how laws work and everything. It's been an education for me too. I found out I didn't know as much about things in government down there. So, but you know what? I always tell people I make a terrible board member, whether it's on the golf board or the MCLA board or the whatever board, because I seem to always rile people up because I ask questions. And but I thought that's what a board member is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in a legislature, but you have to ask questions differently. And you're not down there to embarrass anybody.
Right.
You're down there to get a job done. And if you're down there to enhance your career for any which reason, that's you shouldn't be in public office as far as I'm concerned.
And I agree 200%. And let me start. So The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the wonderful athletic person that's riding their bike in the driving rain. I applaud you. I think you need help, but I do applaud you. I had a stint on Capitol Hill, and back in, I refer to it as the Golden Age or the Gilded Age. I don't want to use anything gold. The Gilded Age. Tip O'Neill was the speaker. Reagan was the president. Sil Conti was there. Things got done, man. Things got done.
And they worked. And they worked together. See, they worked together.
Yep.
Last week, and when we were debating the budget, I saw something that I hadn't seen. Now, the Republicans were fighting among themselves.
Wow.
You have extremes there too, and they're not even getting along. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that down the road, which is sad because one thing Conte and O'Neill and Ted Kennedy had the ability to do, no matter what their political philosophies were, was to reach across the aisle, get bipartisan support, and get things done. They did a lot of remarkable things, and I think people are realizing now too, especially those that are on Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the fear that's been instilled in them that if they lose those programs, which, everybody says, I hate earmarks, but guess what? Those are the biggest earmarks there are.
Yeah.
And people have put their money into it, especially Social Security. So, but we have to take care of our own. We always have, and we should continue to do so. When you cut Medicaid, do you think about those people that are in BFAIR, those clients that are there, in the Berkshire Arc?
Yeah.
They're supported by these programs.
Absolutely.
What's going to happen to them? They wouldn't have a chance in life. They wouldn't have any kind of life if it wasn't from the support of government. And it's so important. What's going to happen to our educational systems? I mean, it's just awful. And the biggest fear I have, more than anything else, is the research hospitals that are losing the money, whether it's the CDC or the NIH. But most importantly, it's going to be devastating to the state when you look at the amount of money that, everybody's after Harvard and Mass General and Brigham Young and everybody else. But those are research facilities
that are
working every day to find cures of whether it's improving the status of people who have Alzheimer's to Parkinson's, to cancer, and all of these is the ALS. I mean, come on, folks. We got to get together and get these things fixed.
Yeah.
And we're just cutting people left and right. Those poor miners in West Virginia that with black lung disease. I mean, they saw their funding cut off to them, and you're seeing tough individuals who are just crying. And
I got many years ago. I got sent down to West Virginia to do something, you're right. You have to see somebody. And of course, now I have a lung disease, so I have real empathy. But to see somebody struggling to take their next breath, and it always, coal miners. And the other thing I got a real rumble, and I hope it's not true, but I hope they're going to cut Head Start. What are they, nuts? Remember our friend Carmen Massimino, the sheriff?
Yeah.
Carmen, he had a favorite saying when he was on a school committee: pay me now, pay me later. Because if you don't educate them, they're going to be in my place. I would go and testify before God that that's the case. Because when I ran a violent youthful offender program, John, the education level of some of those kids, they were reading on a second and third grade level at 16, 18, 20 years old.
Yeah, some of these kids in the circumstances that they're coming out of, they didn't ask to come into this world. They're brought into this world, right, wrong, or indifferently.
Yeah. But,
And you know, they're not going to have any chance in life unless we reach them at a young age and give them the opportunities that they didn't have 50, 60 years ago. I
Exactly.
mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, oh, you'll have all the complainers say, oh, they're living off the public dough or dow or whatever I call
Yeah.
it. And it's, you know, yeah, there's some that beat the system, just like and you know what? I agree there should be cuts in Washington. There should be cuts in
Yeah.
every bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Every, but you do it
Nobody's
right.
arguing that. It's
Yeah,
the logic behind the cuts.
nobody behind. And you know, the fear of having people look at our Social Security and get our information like that. I think it's, you know, Social Security numbers. And
Right.
so it's a scary time, and I just hope that we can see some bipartisan leadership
Me
come out
too.
of all of this, because I'm worried. I really am. I'm worried for our country.
Well,
And
I
every
will
time I
say
say
this.
that.
Yeah, no, I worry that we're going to stumble into a war because of bravado. But but I'm also as concerned with the D's. I mean, you know, we got this one and using the F word every two, three words out of our mouth. You got another one now. You got I look and I just and you don't have to comment on this. But the number two at the Democratic Committee saying we got to get rid of all these old guys. What? Think about it. Think about it before you let your brain, your mouth overload your brain. These are the guys you, for one, John. I mean, and I make this as a compliment. I hope you take it there. You're a loyal Democrat, but you've been in the trenches and you know how it's played. You know what you have to do. You know, I think of people like Evan Dobell and Sherwood Gurr, all these people who to me have always been the standard bearers of the Democratic Party. And I don't
Well,
see them.
it's you know, I came up believing in the Democratic Party as the blue collar party, the ones
Yeah.
that
Mom and
cared
dad
about
were that way.
the average people out there. I learned it working in my father's restaurant when I was just 12 years old and had to work the morning shift because I was on the afternoon shift at school at that time. And I saw those people, husbands and wives, coming in to every morning to get their breakfast at his
Yeah.
diner, coffee or muffin, whatever it may be, on their way to Sprague Electric, on their way to the tannery, on their way to Hunter Machine.
Yeah.
All they wanted was to give a better life for their kids.
Exactly.
That's what they wanted, and they worked hard at doing that, making sure they had a good education, so that something that they never had. I mean, when Sprague closed its doors in the
Yeah.
mid-80s there, people came into my office. I mean, they had tears in their eyes. What are we going to do? And the worst part of it is 53% of them didn't even have a high school education. That's just 40 years ago. And they were going through some. Those were the kind of people that I felt as though I represented. I came from them.
And they
And
knew that. And they knew that.
And those are the ones I care about today. I mean, I get involved in squabbles, and they say, "What do you do it?" Because I says, "I know people that aren't benefiting from this. The wrong people are benefiting from it." You know, so that's always been my forte, and unfortunately, it doesn't always work out for the best. But I'll continue the battle until I close the doors and
Well,
shut the windows, close the blinds.
kind of an FYI for everybody and you. I'm cutting back my experience in Southeast Asia is catching up with me. So I'm cutting back to Mondays and Tuesdays only, except on a rare occasion where I'll either fill in for somebody or a special program. So,
That's the
I'm
goal.
like you. I was born in a blue collar. Father was a fireman. Mother was a nurse. Father used to, ready for this, and you know what this means, moonlight, papering and painting. And for those younger people out there, people who don't know, there was a rule or a law or something in civil service that you couldn't work another job. So they would all, in the term moonlight, would come up. Guys, some guys mowed lawns, my dad paper and painted, just to make ends meet. They didn't have unions then.
No, you had to. You had
Yeah.
to. And I did a lot of that,
Yeah.
when I entered my first years of teaching. I mean, I was
Yeah.
making $5,000 a year. I thought I was rich, but I was probably better off. But
One of the other things, too, I would like to ask is we seem to be losing federal funding. Like we lost some for education, I read in the Boston Globe. How are we going to make? Well, I know we got a contingency fund and a big one, but boy, there's a lot of other things that can happen. And I just don't know what. I'll be honest. I'm very concerned.
well, with the state budget, we did this budget as one rep explained, I think very clearly. It's like doing one while you're standing in quicksand, because we don't know what's going to happen with the federal money coming in, if it's going to be cut back. We have about $8.5 billion in reserve right now for that rainy day, and the clouds are starting to form. But the federal government comes in with $15 billion. And state money, they've already, and federal money, they've already started to cut back. Projects in North Adams. I mean, one was for $144,000 to fix some culverts. That no longer is there, so that can't be fixed. But what happens when we don't know what the education funding is actually going to be, the Title I programs that are going to be cut back? The biggest concern that I have is Medicaid, because it, supports our health insurance in the state of Massachusetts. It could mean 2 million people will go off the rolls for health insurance, because we do get this Medicaid. Of course, a big chunk of more than that goes in from state monies, goes into that program. It's going to be people are going to be knocked off the rolls there. We don't know what our infrastructure projects, which we heavily depend upon federal money for, to get those things done. And of course, I'm not touching on the Social Security that we could be in, and Medicare, and of course our veterans. And I mean, these are people like you who fought for our country in the trenches, in the dirty, wet trenches in Vietnam, and in the Iraq War, our World War II veterans. There's very few left, but they fought for this country, for our rights and everything, and our privileges. And they're going to be slapped around this way. They're losing their jobs, in the Veterans Affairs. It's just a bad situation. I just cannot believe it. And when the President of the United States says they're nothing but a bunch of losers, well, let me tell you something. They ain't a bunch of losers in my book. And nor do the most of this country. We honor our veterans and always have. And now he's talking about spending $140 million for a parade in Washington to celebrate his birthday. I'm sorry, that's just a misuse of money. And it's really angry, and angers a lot of people, and people are angry. People are angry. If anything, it's galvanizing the country, though. So.
Well, and the other thing I was not to take not an aside, it's really on topic. I was at the VA hospital recently, and those people are kind of concerned. They're uptight.
And they should be. And they should be.
And I'm thinking, and so I spun. I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But I said, well, they said we're already down people. Well, what are you going to cut then? You know what I mean? I guess if I may take 2 minutes of your time, if I was going to do these restrictions and these cuts, I would have gone in with a scalpel with someone that I trusted and worked in that system and say, where do you see the fat? And surgically remove it. Not take a swipe with a machete and just lob it off and hope for the best. That's just my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong. My wife's on volume 147 of me being wrong. So there you go. But
Well, you know, it's the sad part of it is that there's no need for it. I mean, I was a mayor. I had to make cuts some
oh, sure.
when there was, you know, cutbacks in funding, or when we went through a couple of downturns in our economy, we went without pay raises for some of our staffing, but we kept their jobs. But just to go in there, and I'll make it clear, there is fat in every bureaucracy
I'm not
in the
dependent on
world. In the world, there's fat there, but you just don't. You go in and you cut the fat out, and you do it in a right way. Everything needs to be looked at, especially in this day and age, is how we can do things more efficiently and everything else. And I can tell you right now, it's a sad to see that. I mean, when people go out to our federal parks across this country that we work so hard to preserve and everything, and they won't be open. They
Yeah.
won't be. If they go to some of our presidential libraries, they won't be open on some days. And it's going to happen. It's going to take time. And
Yeah.
then I'm not even talking about inflation. The inflation factor is out there now. And these tariffs, I don't care what anyone says, a tariff is a tax.
Right.
And you know who's going to pay it? China's not going to pay it. Europe's not going to pay for it.
We are.
We're going to pay for it. The government's not going to pay. The government's going to get all the money from these tariff increases, and they're going to use it to fund pay raises for the wealthiest people in the country. Oh, tax cuts. I mean, not pay
Yeah.
raises, tax cuts.
I think too, as this thing unfolds, that more and more people, but I please don't take offense, because I think the world of our relationship, but the Democrats got to talk about something other than Trump. What are you going to do?
Well, you know what my suggestion was? Why don't you spend all that money that you got in the coffers down there in Washington and go do ads right on TV and basically say, did you know this is what the impact's going to be?
Yeah.
Did you know what this is going to be? Now, our policies and programs put these things in place.
Yes.
Is there fat in them? Yes, there's fat. And we should cut it and streamline it
Surgically. Yep.
and do it. You know, and I go back to the years of Newt Gingrich,
Yeah.
and politics really changed in this country, and
That's
Bill Clinton. But let me tell you, they came together and they balanced a budget. And what the Democrats have to do, like anybody who wants to be successful in politics, you got to have a short memory, and you got to work with the people that may have tried to do you in. That was why Clinton survived for as long as he did. You know, he couldn't remember all the enemies that he had, you know, and he had to work with them, and he got the job done. And I'll tell you, he had his problems, but he'll go down as one of the great presidents, I think, because of what he was able. And they balanced the budgets. Two
exactly.
guys who did not like each other, Gingrich
Yeah.
and Clinton, but they got it done. They got it
And
done.
Clinton went into welfare reform. He got people
Absolutely.
off the rolls and in the college and in the workplaces. And I mean, I happened to be in South Africa when Billy was running the country here. But I have to tell you, I have a yin and a yang for Bill Clinton. I think he was a terrific, terrific president. He could have been a great president, but then he had issues. But you're right, they worked together. I was just leaving DC prior to that. But Tip O'Neill, Jim Wright, all men of honor. They really were. And I people say, oh, you're just a Democrat. No, I'm a truly an independent. I look at the person, and I vote for the person and their history or what they say. And I repeat myself, but when John, thanks for not noticing. I had another birthday. I'm 78 now.
I'm running close to
I know, I checked you out, but you still have hair. But seriously, the going back. I hate to say, why can't it be like the old days? Well, it'll never go back to that. But I can tell you, you can't. If the Democrats want some free advice, here it is. What are you going to do? Forget Trump. We know what he's doing. You spend all your time attacking Trump. That's what I hear. And I watch all the networks. Ask the bride. I want to hear them all. And right now, what's your plan if you get reelected? Kamala, now I hear they're thinking about rerunning Kamala. That was on this
Well,
morning.
that's all talk here and there. There's a lot of governors out there that would be very, very good in that role, and I think that's early to presume anything. But I do believe that you're going to see the Democrats put back some good ideas and plans and
I
everything,
hope.
and
Yeah,
they
and I
went
know
to
they
the
will.
extreme. You see, you cannot go to the extremes on all ends, whether you're a Democrat or
Right.
Republican. You've got to get back to the middle,
Yep.
and understand, and people have to understand, you're not going to agree with everybody, especially in politics, 100% of the time. But you got to look at the bigger picture in all of this, and I think that's so very important. And I just, the history is amazing in a way because it teaches us a lot,
Right.
and the only way you learn in this life and you get better is making mistakes. And it's those people who realize the mistakes that have been made that can correct them.
Yeah.
And it has to work that way. But I think you see more people moving towards the middle, even on the Republican side,
Oh, yeah.
even on the Democrat, they're moving towards it. I believe in a strong two-party system. I really do, because they make me better as a representative. They make me more accountable, and it's good to have, even if they're on the extreme to a certain times and they're all way off base, but they still make you better. And I'll tell you, we used to have that in this country. That we can get back. That we can get back working together.
Yeah.
But for people who go into political life now, all they worry about is their next election, and they start raising money the next day after they're elected.
You know, our mutual friend, the former representative, Smitty Pignatelli, had a saying, and I tell young politician a couple of things. When people say, Bill, I'm thinking about running for city councilor, Bill, I think I'm running for this or running for that, I tell them two things. First thing is read Man of the House by Tip O'Neill. Because that is a great primer to prepare you to be a politician, I think. And one thing I remember from that book, like I read it yesterday, was when Mrs. Kelly came up and said, "Well, I'm sorry you lost." He said, "Well, that it is first election there." She said, "I voted for the other guy," and he said, "Why?" And she said, "Because he asked me to." Think about that.
No, that's so true. And I think her name was Mrs. Murphy, not Kelly, but they're both
Murphy.
Irish.
Yeah.
Mrs. Murphy, and he stuck by that, and that's the way it used to be. You had to, now you
Yes.
have TV and other social media that you don't even have to talk to the people anymore. Rallies mean nothing. Rallies mean nothing. It's what's going on. And I'll say one thing for Trump and his organization. They knew what was going on. Go
Yes,
back
they did.
and look at the election last year. They stopped doing debates. They stopped doing public interviews. They stopped doing certain things. And they did it because they knew where their vote was, and they knew it was solid.
Yeah.
And the whole way through, and there was no way in their mind they were going to lose. And they did a good job in the 4 years that they were out. You can't take that away from them.
No,
However,
no.
the Democrats have to learn by their mistakes
Oh, they
that
didn't make
they
any.
made.
I just talked with a local person here. We didn't make mistakes. That election wasn't right. Okay.
Well, it was right,
Yeah.
and it did happen,
Yeah.
but and that being said, is that now they have to understand. And I think the big ones who are going to get a wake-up call as a result of the new administration is the younger people.
Yeah.
They're going to be hurt as much as anybody. They
Every.
got they you know the Democrats, whatever reason, the Congress, helped them pay their loans and cut their loans back during COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Guess what? Now they got to pay for it, and
Yeah.
some of them aren't going to be in the ability to
Oh.
do it.
And they just
And
said on the news this morning, not to interrupt you, so many are in default.
oh
Yeah.
yeah, and they are, and you can net, and that's a loan that can be never be gone away because if you file bankruptcy,
Right.
it just can't. Yeah, it's an obligation that has to be paid for.
We're going to take a break. I'm here with Representative John Barrett. We're going to about a 1 minute break. We'll be back. Please stay tuned. I always find my interviews with Representative Barrett refreshing and candid. He's not a BSer. And if you know anybody, and trust me, if you know anybody who knows him, they'll tell you, he will tell you point blank what he's thinking. He's not bashful. Kind of like the host. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're broadcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Just a reminder, for those people that are listening in Southern Berkshire, we are broadcasting down there now. And I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be right back. A lot more to learn from Representative Barrett. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pizza Pizza is back. Join PCTV and WTBR for the biggest and tastiest pizza event around, May 15th at Berkshire Hills Country Club on Benedict Road in Pittsfield. Enjoy pizza from KJ Nosh Catering, Porta Via Italian Eatery, and much more. And you get to decide who will win the People's Choice Award. Pizza Pizza at Berkshire Hills Country Club on May 15th. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for children 12 and under in advance. Get your tickets now at pittsfieldtv.org/pizza. Support for Pizza Pizza comes from Cohen, Kinney, Valicenti, and Cook.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Join us at the Pittsfield Farmers Market. Meet your local farmers, artisans, friends, and neighbors. Enjoy the bounty of the Berkshires at a market that's accessible to all shoppers. With live music, chef demos, and family-friendly activities, the Pittsfield Farmers Market is more than a place to shop. Join us each Saturday, May 10th through October 11th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Pittsfield Common.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
I am back, and the guy that I have with me, the good-looking guy, he has hair. His name is John Barrett, representative of the 1st Berkshire District up here. And I will tell you, he was the mayor of North Adams when they named the city, and not quite that long, but a long time. He's in Boston now, and I in the first half, I took some time to just read some of the thing he. I think sometimes in Boston they're very metropolitan, and they forget we're rural, and in some of Representative Barrett and Senator Mark's districts, they're rural. No, they're not just rural. They're rural, rural. And they need as much per capita as we need. The big cities, whether it's Boston or Springfield or whatever. So I'm always pleased to say we have people like John Barrett, Paul Mark, Trish Foley, Farley Bouvier, the new lady whose name escapes me, but I forgot what a refrigerator is. So, but John, what do you think the biggest in-state challenges are going to be? Not federal funding to them, but just what you're facing in-state.
Well, obviously the loss of money, we don't know how it's going to impact us yet. And I'm very concerned about the infrastructure across this state.
Oh,
it sounds like it's non-sexy, but you know what? It's got to be addressed because it's getting to be a situation where someone's going to get hurt. A bridge is going to collapse.
Yes.
We've got to start investing in that infrastructure much the same way they did back in the early 50s, I guess. And
Eisenhower, yeah. Right? He built all Eisenhower built all those highways.
Yep. Yep. Put in the internet.
Yep.
Interstates and all of that. And but I do think that's one of the big problems we have. And also fixing education to make sure that every kid in this state has the opportunity to pursue a good education. And in your zip code should not determine the amount of funding that you get and the need you have. And I think the other, you know, just along that line, I think we have to build more vocational schools because it's starting to go that way more and more.
That's an excellent point.
And so there's changes that have to be made, and change hopefully is a coming. But I do think those are our greatest challenges. We cannot continue to do business as usual. Our political leaders have to understand what's going on in the neighborhoods across the state and across America, for that matter, and understand what the real problems are.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't straightened out the drug problem yet, but we're making inroads as far as that goes, and it's not being kept in the closet as much as it used to. So,
right.
But the challenges are great, and in so many ways. But I think addressing infrastructure and things like that, because that's what concerns me more than anything. Our roads are terrible, and our local communities have to start investing there more than other places. I wish that more of our ARPA money that we received during COVID had gone into infrastructure, and rather than buying equipment and things like that, invest in the infrastructure itself, because it's a problem. It's a problem. And the other thing too that really scares the hell out of me is Robert Kennedy being in charge of Health and Human Services. You know, I think that we're forgetting that we've come a long way. People are living longer today because great advances we've made and the medication and also a way of life. And so that's a concern too. But
I don't disagree with you. I think we have to sit back, and I tell myself this. I told this weekend we were out of town, and I said, what have we done in good and build on that? We've done a lot of good in this world. A lot, you know. Jonas Salk, I mean, the Polish princess and I were guinea pigs for that. At St. Charles School, we lined right up, nuns right there watching us. And the first time, and they didn't, my parents didn't sign anything that I can remember. It was nothing but a placebo. And then the second time, I guess, we had the real meal deal. Well, I had a sister who had a brief case of polio. And I want to tell you, as you know, you're of this age, how many people were saved from polio because of that? So I don't always buy into this guy's vaccine thing.
No, I don't either. You know, people can make their own decisions, but
yeah.
But I do remember the polio outbreak, and I think it was back in 1955, 56.
Yeah.
I was still knee high to a grasshopper, but I lost a neighbor.
Yeah.
And he was 16 years old when he contracted polio and the iron lung that they went into.
Oh, I remember
that vaccine.
Yeah.
But look at it. You know, 2 years ago, measles was ruled out. It's cured. It'll never happen again. Look at the outbreaks that are going on now across this country because they didn't react at the beginning. And it says, oh, it's just minor cases. No, it's not minor cases. That spreads.
Like wildfire.
Yeah.
And I go back. Oh, wait. Oh, did I come back? Sorry about that, folks. But, you know, as we move forward, I like to get up in the morning and look at the sunshine, even if it's not there, because I look at this. I woke up. And what can I do today to make somebody else's life better and my own? And I get a lot of pleasure out of doing shows like this, going out, lifting people, making them laugh. But boy, there's so many people. God, you could go goofy listening to some of the negativity in the world is unbelievable.
People are angry. People are angry.
That's a better word. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think they have every right to be because they depended upon political leaders such as myself to fix these problems. That's what they elected us for, and unfortunately, I think we failed them in a lot of areas, and. But I'm like you. I like to think that we can help people as much as we can to deal with the problem. And one thing I learned as being mayor, I only could help maybe one out of 10 people to walk through my door. But right. If you listen to the other nine and tried to give them some hope and how we could do some things, I think that's just as important because that's what public service is all about. People have forgotten it. They've forgotten what it's about. Public service is about serving the people who put you in office, gave you the opportunity. And without them, you're nothing. You're nothing as far as I'm concerned. So
and you just said it. It's about them. Too many of today's political figures. It's about me and my next vote. And, what do the polls say? Well, I go back to Tip O'Neill where in his book, you remember the some kid from the Western state said, Mr. Speaker, the whip wants me to vote for this. But my constituents are 80% of them are telling me they don't want it. He said, son, I'll take care of the whip. You vote for the way your constituents want you. How often would you hear that today?
Yeah. I said to one rep down there, I says, always when they first came in, I says, remember, your votes aren't in Boston. Your votes are back in the district.
Yeah.
And you have to do that to the best of your ability. Sometimes you're going to vote against what they think is best, but you do it because it's the right thing to do. I think the nicest thing someone said about, I think it was Tip O'Neill, and he signed his book, and he says, you were someone who never stuck his finger in the air to see which way the wind was blowing. And he wrote, and I pride myself in that. I kick myself because I do make a wrong vote. And it happens, But
it's not for
that's
you.
The human fact, I guess.
Yeah, it's a mistake, but it's not to benefit John Barrett. It's a mistake in assessing the facts. There's a heck of a difference, in my opinion.
No, I will always. I always felt as though you put your district first, and sometimes when you have to take a tough vote, you have to look how will it impact my district, one way or the other.
Yeah.
If I go the wrong way, am I going to lose something, or buy it or Is it better for my district? And so it can be tough. You have to take tough votes sometimes.
North Adams is on a resurgence, huh? I mean, Mass Mocha, so a lot of things. I went to a thing up there in Adams, actually. I think it was a studio, something or other, to watch a couple of concerts. It's But where the what are those places? The Bridges? No, the.
Well, there's the Adams Theater that's going on. I hope to God they'll do something with the Greylock Glen. They got them a lot of money for that project, and but it's a case where, you know, others want to walk in and they think they know what they're doing. So I stepped back. I did my job for them. And
Yes, you did. And
I told them that I'm available to help you. And but I've been sitting by the phone. I don't get that call. So
I forget the name. The bridges or the porches. The porches.
Porches, sure. The porches.
Yeah, they have a beautiful theater there now. Soundstage. I mean, it. I've been there two concerts there. People recording CDs and stuff. So I mean, there is new life, and Pittsfield's kind of the same way. I get a little frustrated when the people say, well, I'm glad they tore those buildings down. Do you really know what that means? That's not the end of GE in Pittsfield. That's the end of an era of blue-collar people living good lives. Because, you know, my father-in-law worked for the GE 30, almost 40 years, and they lived a good life, five kids, you know. We better think about those days, you know, not condemn them so much. Yeah, there was mistakes, PCBs and all that, but not everybody knew.
Well, you know.
That's just my thinking.
Yeah, when you talk about the porches would not be there. It was blighted property when Massmart was being built, and it was turned into a very nice, funky place for people to stay. And but they've expanded. Bought additional property in the area, put it on the tax rolls, and really improved the area. There's another place up here called Tourists that took an old.
I don't know. I'll look for that one.
How do I explain it? A motel out of the 70s and converted into a real attractive place with a restaurant and other things. They're building, building the walking trail up there with it. They've taken an old mill and fixing that up. So that investment would not have come to North Adams without Mass Mocha. It is wonders. However, there's so much more that that could be done. I'm saddened by what I saw after I left office, to be very honest with you. We had 80% of the downtown was filled, and we were building a very strong neighborhood in the downtown by creating, you know, market rate housing and stuff like that. And there was, I think, five or six restaurants that were booming in the downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Within a mile of each other. And all because of Mass Mocha. You see, they say, how do we get people from Mass Mocha into the downtown? Well, you know what P.T. Barnum said? Give the people what they want and they'll come out in droves.
That's right.
And that's what they got to do in any downtown. But you have to have a strong housing component. The Mohawk Theater in North Adams is a diamond in the rough. It just has so much. It's an old Art Deco theater that should be fixed up, and it could have concerts. It was always my dream to see a jazz festival or a movie festival come to North Adams and to the Northern Berkshire area. You now have a theater in Adams that can do that, a small venue. The Mohawk Theater, which has 900 capacity. Yeah. Mass Mocha has 600 in their Black Box Theater over there.
Yeah.
In Williamstown, at the Williamstown Summer Theater.
Yeah.
And also other. But imagine having them come here for a week and do those types of things.
Yeah.
It would just rejuvenate the area. It will restill that lost sense of pride that we've all battled for many, many years. But at the same time, you do all that, Bill. See, that's what I did when I was mayor. I paved every street in this city. And at one time or another, and made sure those potholes never sprung up, and when they did, they were filled immediately. And those were important. Paint the fire hydrant. People want to be proud of their city. They want to be proud of the neighborhood they live in.
That's right.
They want everything from athletic teams to honor scholars. You know, and the same thing at the college. I want to see that college succeed better than what it has been. And I think it hopefully will.
When you look in this area, Berkshire Community College, Mass College of Liberal Arts, I can always go north and say, I got to catch myself. I've been yelled at several times for not knowing a college. the degrees that the so many of the people in this Berkshire County collaborative here have gotten their degrees from there, really and truly. Berkshire Community College welcomed us with open arms, us being Vietnam veterans. Why? Because all their management at the time was what? World War II guys. So where other people really didn't want us. But the you're right. I hope we can make North Adams the gem of master's degrees and education and now business. I bump into a friend of mine, bumped into him in church yesterday, of all places. Haven't seen him forever. He emailed me last night. He's been there for 46 years teaching at North Adams and wouldn't leave for, they just wouldn't leave.
Now, both of those schools have been beneficial to the county, but we have to grow them and take advantage of them. Yeah. And develop programs.
Yes. I mean,
you know, for years they've been, you know, General Dynamics has been looking for engineers. We've got to get an engineer program someplace.
Yeah.
Around here if we really want to grow and have good jobs and things like that. But, you know, there's so much more to do. I'm sorry I'm not going to be around for those things, you know, a lot of them. But
I'll leave the back door open for you.
Yeah, good. And I, you know, but I hope I can leave my fingerprints on as many good things that are going on, not only here, but in the county. Even when I was on the county commission, we did a lot of good things throughout the county. We had some good programs that we used to run. And
well, before we close, what's your gut? Should we have done away with them? I'm mixed. I thought the county commissions were a necessity. And I know my dad was beside himself when they did away with them. He said they'll rule the day they ever did that.
Well, I do think some link of county government should still exist, to be honest with you, because I always said that they were the conduit between the locals in Boston.
Yeah.
And I was the county commissioner for 4 years. I left voluntarily.
Yeah.
But we did a lot. We ran, you know, we ran the 4-H programs through UMass. We had the economic development. We had an economic development group that actually did something and created things and worked with cities and towns. Not a group that told the cities and towns what they should have, but the cities and towns told the group what they needed.
That's right.
Which isn't the case today. And we had a great tourist agency. They used to call it the Berkshire Hills Conference.
Yes, I remember
back then. And the two groups merged and resulted in what they have today. But there was a lot of good things that were going on, and they worked, and they were all a lot of business people that owned businesses and had a vested interest.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Vested interest.
If we all benefit from you making a few bucks, what – yeah.
I don't have any problem with people making money at all, as long as it benefits the people along the line. That's trickle down economics, as far as I'm concerned. But it's always good to be with you, Bill.
I promise you I'd let you go. I know you've got business to do. Thank you, as always. I get so refreshed doing these because, and I hope the listening and viewing audience does too. Representative Barrett is down there. He's swinging the bat at every pitch for us. And like, I'll say this, he didn't need this frustration of going back and forth the best. But hopefully we'll get a train and he and I will take a trip together and we'll go to Boston and have a cocktail on the way home. Representative Barrett, thank you and the best, good health and enjoy the summer.
Yes, you too. Thank you to you and your audience.
All right. Thanks for coming. All right, folks, I have some announcements. As I promised, the representative's leaving. I just really want to say, too, that Representative Barrett has never waived a question, asked me not to ask a question. He's up front, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm glad he's in Boston for us. Coming up, we got, excuse me, excuse me. Okay, sorry about that. Soldier On Golf Tournament. That's going to happen on May the 23rd. So please call Casey DeSico. She's at 413-207-4746. And if you want to be a sponsor, you want to find out more about it, she will definitely know all the ins and outs of that. And it's near and dear to my heart. There's a lot of veterans who need Soldier On in so many ways, and they do a great job. And it's the 14th annual golf tournament. So there you go. Here's the other thing, too. We're coming up on Memorial Day, and decorating graves will start today. This program is being recorded on May 5th. But Cinco de Mayo days, and if I missed it, I'm sorry, but I have to record them when they come down for me. The other piece too is I get an interesting thing from my friends at the Berkshire Theater Group. What a season they have coming up! Berkshire Theater Group, Barrington Stage, Shakespeare and Company, Williamstown. Everybody's doing a lot. The other thing too. I do want to remind people that last month was Child Abuse Month, and the district attorney really did a lot of really great work, and I want to make sure he gets credit and his team, not just him, all the police officers involved and everything. 13 individuals were charged in a child predator sting. So thank you, Mr. District Attorney. Thank you, state police, local police, and the sheriff. This is the one that's near and dear to my heart, and I have to tell you this. It really is near and dear to my heart. St. Mary's Bingo. Yeah, that's right. To help support St. Mary's School, May 10th. That's coming right up this weekend. May 10th and June 14th, and then they stop for the summer. They have door prizes. They have all kinds of things. They just do just a spectacular, spectacular job. And I would also ask you to say, to start planning, and I'll get you more information on it. I want you to start planning to attend the Memorial Day Parade in Pittsfield. I'll have more information as the day gets closer. Again, so that I can't thank Representative Barrett enough. I can't thank you folks. Probably heard if you're just tuning in. I will be cutting back to a couple days a week, and for health reasons, and I'm old, basically, in case you couldn't tell it. But it's been a delight for me to be on the air at WTBR. It's been a delight to work with a team that saved WTBR. And I want to, and somewhere along the way here, I'm going to have them all on again, because bottom line, this is a great radio station, and it's now expanded into Southern Berkshire. And it's people like you who keep people like me happy. My job is to make you happy, to inform you, and give you a few chuckles along the way. When I started this, that's what I... informational, educational, and a few chuckles along the way. God bless. Take care of each other. Lift each other's burdens. You know somebody today that's got a heavy burden? Help them with it. Make them laugh. I love to make people laugh, even at my own expense. Be kind. Kindness costs nothing. Remember, we're all in this together. Without each other, it's a long, heavy load. See you next time. God bless. Be well.